The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
If the Giants go to Ryan Nassib and they make the playoffs, I will run the streets of Manhattan naked. I will run the streets of the Jersey Shore naked. So you're going to blame four injuries to the rotation. You're going to blame him having an affair for the Yankees' struggle. That is just ridiculous. And now he's too easy on him. All Terry Collins does after games. I was at one of the post-game pressers a couple weeks ago. All he did was make excuses. He said, oh, we're tired. Oh, this guy. Just stick to the bingo card and get out of baseball, Terry Collins, because you're a terrible manager. And when you double-switch Juan Lagares out of the game for Chris Young, you know your time's done and you're over the hill.
Hold up, hold up. Time out for what? This is Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And I'm your host, Jake Brown, 631-888-8811. If you want to chime into the show. Oh, man, am I fired up. I am absolutely fired up. And if you watch football today, you will know why. It's because the Jets called a timeout. But for what? I'll get into this Jets debacle. Also, I'll get into the Giants' absolute turnover fest at MetLife Stadium in their home opener where they embarrassed 80,000 people in the building as they fall to 0-2. I'll get into that with WFAN's Paul Dottino at Giants WFAN on Twitter. I'll get into that at 8:30. Also, obviously a horror week in the NFL. Oh my goodness, it was disgusting what happened involving Ray Rice, involving Adrian Peterson, Hardy, Roger Goodell. I'll get into all of that as well. And of course, NFL Week 2, we'll go around the league and get through that. We'll be taking your calls the whole way. It's Jake Brown solo here at 631-888-8811. Follow me on Twitter at JB Sports Radio, at Sports Talk 1240, and Luke Albert controlling the Twitter feed, Brian behind the glass. It is a busy show, and let's get started. I don't need to exchange the pleasantries. The New York Jets held a 21-3 lead, and then all hell broke loose for this football team. It gets to 21-9, you're saying, okay, everything's good, everything's grand. And then with 8 seconds left, a Randall Cobb touchdown from Aaron Rodgers makes it 21-16 at the half, thanks to a 97-yard drive that came about because of a Geno Smith mishap. And what did we say, folks, was the reason the Jets had a shot in this game? We said they would run the football, and if they did that and were turnover-free, they can beat a banged-up Packers team. Well, guess what? They didn't do either of those. Didn't do either. Geno made that bad throw. It led to a 21-16 game in the half. There's all sorts of things I could get into in this game, really. But if you watch the last couple of minutes, Marty Mornenwake is a guy that you want his head right now. Geno Smith throws up a ball for a touchdown to Jeremy Curley. The celebration is loose. Everyone's celebrating, except Marty Mornenwake, because the dope, the knucklehead, the offensive coordinator, he calls a timeout with four on the play clock. No one knew it except for him. Rex Ryan, the head coach, did not know it. Rex didn't even know. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's a joke. How do you have your offensive coordinator call a timeout? The head coach didn't even know about it. He calls a timeout four in the play clock. Touchdown. Celebrate. But no, it's called back. And of course, the Jets do not score.
And not only did he call a timeout, he called their final timeout. The Jets had no timeouts remaining, and then the Packers get a first down, and the game is over. Now, folks, if you're a gambler, and I was at the casino earlier today, actually went up 200 and ended up losing, so you can call me a gambler. But for those who gambled on this game, not me, you covered the spread. You did that. You got your 8.5. Congratulations. You cashed out. You cashed out. But the Jets went bankrupt. I mean, this was a game that they had in their hands. This is a game you had. And while Luke's telling me the offensive coordinator can't call a timeout, it was. It was Marty Mornwig. The replay showed that Marty Mornwig called a timeout. It was not Rex Ryan because Rex had no idea. He was jumping up and down celebrating the touchdown. So if you want to explain to me what the heck happened, you can give me a call at 631-888-8811. But Marty Mornwig called that timeout, and it cost the Jets the game-tying touchdown. Man, what a way to lose. I mean, this Jets team dominated at least the first quarter. You're thinking, what the heck is going on right now? Into middle of the second quarter, it's 21-3, and you're thinking the Jets are about to steal one in Green Bay, go to 2-0, and return home to face the Packers on Monday Night Football with a 2-0 start, and you're feeling like you're number one. You're feeling like you're number one. I mean, Luke's saying he said the ref messed up, and he thought it was Rex calling it. Well, then that's on the ref. I'm pretty sure an offensive coordinator, I don't know if there's a rule where an offensive coordinator can't call a timeout. I've seen players call it. Maybe offensive coordinator cannot. But I'm not sure what the rule is. But apparently Luke thinks the ref messed up. But whatever it is, a timeout happened, the Jets lost the game. I mean, just a hard loss. And you know what? I said earlier, and I tweeted earlier on, you can follow me at JB Sports Radio, that Geno Smith looks like he's made a monumental progression, and you know what? He kind of has, but man, he was pretty bad today. 16-32, only 176 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. And Mike Carey was saying it during the game. So, you know what? Either way, a timeout was called when it shouldn't have. But back to the point, Geno Smith, he wasn't very good. He had a bad day. Completing half of his passes. And where was Chris Johnson? This was the Chris Johnson of last season, folks. 12 carries for 21 yards. I mean, Geno Smith had more yards than him. Ivory was 13 for 43. Ivory got more carries. And the Jets, while they had a combined 146 rushing yards, it took six guys to get there. So I'm not going to look at that and say, hoorah, hooray. Yeah, good job. They did a solid job. They held Lacy to 43, and they held Rodgers to 28. But you know what? Jordy Nelson went loose. And, folks, the key for the Jets, and you're going to see it now, the cornerbacks are horrible. D. Milliner could shut the heck up saying he's the best because he was getting torched. You could throw him in a fire. He was getting torched by Jordy Nelson and his 9 catches, 209 yards, and a touchdown, including an 80-yard touchdown that gave them the lead. 31-24. That was the end of the scoring at the end of the third quarter. It was no scoring in the fourth quarter. And my God, the Jets had this game in their hands, folks. I mean, for them to lose this game when you have it like that, sure you don't expect them to win. Sure you thought they were losing. But you know what? They had it. That's a win. It's a win. You lock it up, and they blew it. I mean, it was hard to swallow if you're a Jet fan losing a game that you had in the bag like that. I mean, it really is. So now the Jets go to 1-1. They will play Green Bay next week. Excuse me. They will play Chicago next week at home, and then Detroit at home. So here's the thing that bothers me about this Jets team. Here's the thing. Cutler next week, Stafford, Rivers, Manning, Brady. You get a bye week with EJ Manuel. It's despite the Bills being 0-2 in first place in the AFC right East right now. Chiefs, Big Ben, Bills. So it's really the middle of the season where you get, now you had Rodgers, Cutler, Stafford, Rivers, Manning, Brady, six straight games with quarterbacks. And you know what that means. It means Antonio Allen's getting exposed. It means D. Milner's getting exposed. And it means the Jets are in a whole lot of trouble. I mean, this is something the Jets came into the season not worrying about. But now you can see you're worried. You can't celebrate a week one win over rookie quarterback David Carr and the horrid Oakland Raiders, who were absolutely dismantled today. 30-14 by the Houston Texans. So if you lose 30-14 to the Texans, you know you're bad. But that's not the only problem, folks, that the Jets have right now. Eric Decker left the game with a hamstring injury. And we know with hamstrings, those are week in, week out. We're not sure yet. It's too soon to say if he'll play next week or not against the Bears. But if Eric Decker's out, the Jets are in a whole lot of trouble. I mean, a whole lot of trouble. Because after that, look at the numbers, folks. Curley, 3 catches for 22 yards. Bilal Powell was the second leading receiver. He's the Jets' third string running back. David Nelson wasn't in Green Bay. I think he actually stopped in Wyoming and thought they were playing a game there. He went to the wrong state. Jason Morrow, he was still down at Texas A&M. He didn't make the flight. Marty Mornewig, I think he thought it was a 7 o'clock game because he didn't show up either. And that brings me to yet another point. How about that? The play calling? It was a 3rd and 5 late in the game. And what's with their fascination on running in 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5? I know the running game's good, but it didn't work out well today. And that's a situation you throw. That just reminds you of last year where you don't have trust in Geno Smith, where on 3rd down you're running the ball there. I know it's 4 down territory, but let him throw the football. I mean, give me a break. And then you're going to have fun and have Michael Vick get sacked. When Michael Vick comes in the game, I know I'm going all over the place, but there's just so many things in my mind from this game that you take out of it. You bring in Michael Vick as a guy to maybe do what he did in week one. I love that play where they did. He missed Decker in the end zone, but he takes it on a little wildcat type of play, and then he throws. Don't just have him come in as a quarterback. Where's the fascination? You know what he's going to do. He's either run or throw it. You have no clue what he's doing if he's out wide. And forget that decoy stuff. Have him grab a handoff, then throw, or run. Don't have him out there as a quarterback and just have Geno watching him on the bench. I mean, Marty Mornewig, he makes you scratch your head sometimes. He really does. He really, really does. I mean, you think the Jets... You see the first half and you're thinking to yourself, at least the first quarter and a half, you're thinking, this could be a good season. And no, I'm not saying the season's over. But you're thinking, we're going 2-0 and we have 2 home games coming up against teams that we could beat in the Bears and Lions. Lions lose today. The Bears are going to lose tonight because Marshall and Jeffrey won't play, so they're screwed against the San Francisco 49ers. You're thinking that the Jets could maybe get a 3-1 start before they have that Chargers, Broncos, Patriots set. But now you're worried because there's just too many question marks. The receivers are a question mark. The cornerbacks are a question mark. And when you have Antonio Allen, a safety, converting to a corner, it's not going to end well. And D. Milner just looked pathetic. Don't tell me you're the best. Don't tell me you're in the top 5. Don't tell me you're in the top 10. And don't you dare tell me you're even in the top 25 corners in the game. You may not even be in the top 50 yet. So don't tell me. Don't give me that garbage. Don't you dare give me that nonsense. Again, you're listening to Sports Talk 1240. I am Jake Brown at JB Sports Radio. Follow us at Sports Talk 1240 and visit SportsTalk1240.com. Sunday, September 14th, week 2 in the NFL. Brian behind the glass. Luke, I am Luke Halper on Twitter. On social media tonight, I am alone in the studio. It is a hot one. It is starting to cool off the temperatures, but it's boiling in this studio right now because I didn't even get to the Giants yet. And I'll get to them when Paul DiTino, probably one of the best reporters in the business. You think I go crazy on air sometimes. He is an awesome on-air personality, so don't want to miss that. So if you're tuned out right now, if I may be boring you, I don't know how that's possible because I'm just yelling right now, and I'm not even doing it on purpose. I'm just fired up. But if my voice doesn't thrill you, Paul DiTino's will. So if you leave us, come back at 8:30, okay? But don't leave us, all right? But the Jets today lose 31-24. The Giants lose 25-14. And it was a horrible day in New York sports. Just horrible. It was a horrible day in the NFL for us. And it was also a horrible week for the National Football League. An absolutely horrible week. Now let me get into it, because this is another thing that's going to get me fired up. Here on Sports Talk 1240, I am Jake Brown. Now, it started Monday when all hell broke loose. The Ray Rice video was released by TMZ. And TMZ became kind of the face of sports gossip this week. Already a huge business with Harvey Levin, the founder, of course. The video comes out Monday. It's gruesome. We see it all. We all see it all. We see it. Everyone saw it. Everyone. Every person in America saw it. Except for one man. One man who makes $44 million. There's one guy who makes $44 million. He's pretty high up there. You may have heard of him. You might know him. He's got some occupation. What is it called? I got it. The commissioner of the National Football League, a multi-billion dollar organization that is followed by so many countless people in this great country that we call the United States of America. Just a wonderful country we live in. With fantasy football, with FanDuel, with tailgates, you name it, the NFL's got it. Yet the head of the league did not see a video that was so essential to the fan base, was so essential to females of the fan base. I believe there was a study that went out that said there was 46% of the league was female, something like that, of the fans were female. And for this video to be released and for Roger Goodell to trust Ray Rice, telling him face to face and not see it is embarrassing. I mean, it is just pathetic. You can't do that. You just can't. Now, if you didn't see the Ray Rice video, if you've been under a rock, if you've been watching Gossip Girl, if you've been tuning into reruns of Seinfeld, whatever the heck you've been doing, Ray Rice gets in the elevator. Obviously, there was something going on with them. They were yelling at each other. Maybe she spit or he spit at her. Whatever it was. They get in the elevator. She starts to come a little bit closer to him. Nothing dangerous for a National Football League player making millions of dollars who's more jacked than maybe two of me. And he strikes her. Once. That was once. He hit her once, uncalled for. You never hit a woman. But what does he do? He hits her again. He hits her twice. He knocks out not only a woman, but his then fiance at the time. And for mankind, for every man, I am ashamed that he is a male to do something that disgusting. And it wasn't just a hit. He knocked her unconscious. We saw Floyd Money Mayweather win last night and stay undefeated. That was some Floyd Mayweather type of thing right there. That was a Floyd Mayweather punch. That was something you see in the schoolyards or in the alleyways. Not with your wife on an elevator in Atlantic City. And I don't care that you're drunk. You don't hit your wife when you're drunk. And too many guys are doing it. And I'll get into the rest of them in a little bit. But that video comes out, and then there's reports that his NFL executive saw it, that it was easily accessible to Roger Goodell. Well, Roger that. Roger that. You got some explaining to do. $44 million, and you're not going to watch a video that you know is coming out. Because, you know what? Especially with the casino Revel closing, and all the casinos closing there, that video was coming out. And TMZ got it. And the NFL had access to it. And he said, no. I trust Ray Rice. And just as I'm talking about this, I get a notification on my phone. Ray Rice will appeal his indefinite suspension from the NFL on Monday. Source confirms to Adam Schefter. So, Ray, what the heck are you doing? And that bothers me. You really are going to beat your wife and then you're going to go appeal the suspension? You're joking, right? I mean, that's got to be a joke. It has to be. I mean, so the 2-game suspension, the video comes out. Ray Rice gets cut by the Ravens. Then the NFL says we'll change it to indefinite. But now they're in a pickle, and this is why Ray Rice is appealing it. And now he's just making himself look worse. He should just sit out the season and learn his lesson. But, of course, he wants the money, and so does his wife who made it. I may have to read you what she said in her – I have a screenshot of it. And I'll read you what Paul George said in his idiotic comments. Janae Rice on Instagram. I woke up this morning feeling like I had a horrible nightmare, feeling like I'm mourning the death of my closest friend. You got knocked out. Makes no sense. But to have to accept the fact that its reality is a nightmare itself, no one knows the pain that the media and unwanted opinions from the public has caused my family. To make us relive a moment on our lives that we regret every day is a horrible thing. To take something away from the man I love, that he's worked his ass off for his life to gain ratings, is horrific. Okay. I mean, I can't hate on her. She's the victim here, but you can't say that. This is our life. What don't you all get? If your attention were hers, embarrassed and make us feel alone, take all happiness, you succeeded on so many levels. Janae, earth to you? Our intentions weren't to hurt you. Your husband's were. He knocked you out. How is it our intentions? This is the media. Of course we're going to talk about this. What world are you living in? You have a Twitter? You have an Instagram? You have a Facebook? Are you living under a rock, Janae? Don't blame it on the media. I know she's the victim, and I feel horrible for her that she has to relive this. But what are we not going to talk about this? What are we going to sit back, relax? Oh, the video's fine. We didn't see anything. Oh, you just knocked out a girl. Oh, who cares? This is no biggie. No big deal. Knocking out a wife? Huh, I see that all the time. And here's the problem. You don't see it all the time. You see it in the NFL. And that comes out all week. The Rice story shifts to the Goodell story. What's going to happen? Should Goodell get fired? And it is a fireable offense, in my opinion. If you want my honest opinion, I think Roger Goodell should be fired. His mishandling with this and all these other situations, and then the backlashes he faces, and then getting the rules changed after the backlashes, it's unnecessary. And we can have the commissioner do a better job. When Ray Rice is getting 2 games for beating his wife and Josh Gordon is getting a whole season for testing 0.01 below the drug level, it's a joke. And then after all that, Friday, the week's over, there can't be any more NFL nonsense. We have the Greg Hardy situation where he gets deactivated today. This guy was charged, yet because of North Carolina – the state where my family lives now, because of their law, he can appeal it, and the trial goes till November. So, which is a joke in itself, but I'm not going to get into the court of law right now on Sports Talk 1240 on AM 1240 WGBB. Then on Friday, we come out with the news that Adrian Peterson uses a switch to spank one of his seven sons. I mean, we all love Adrian Peterson for what he does in fantasy value, but no one talks about his off-the-field problems. And for someone to – we talk about how bad it is to beat your wife or girlfriend or any girl, period. But to hit your son? I mean, are you kidding? You're an NFL player. Why are you hitting your son? And what scares me about this, and he has seven sons and a whole lot of baby mamas. I mean, Adrian Peterson is going to be on Maury or Jerry Springer one of these days. And if it's going to be a must-watch episode, I would figure. One of Adrian Peterson's sons was killed by one of his baby mama's ex-boyfriends. One of his sons was killed. This is serious stuff. And for him to hit one of his sons after that happens, I mean, it's scary. It really is. And it really makes you scratch your head. And this whole week in the NFL bothered me because so much was taken off of football and onto all these domestic violence problems. And it really makes you sick to your stomach that we can't enjoy the game this week because there's so many things going wrong off the field. And there's too – I'm sorry. I hate to say it. There's too many thugs and there's too many guys who weren't in the NFL would be arrested. And it kind of takes away from the good guys, the guys who do charity work. These guys are taken away from those who do work. A guy like J.J. Watt who collects $100 million and he's in the gym at 4:30 the next morning. He's not out at the club with a money phone. He's not going to smoke. He's not going to drink. He's not turning up in the club. He's going to the gym to work, to earn that check. And too many guys are doing dumb stuff where they're not earning their check. They're just being knuckleheads, and they're making themselves look horrible to all the people that support them, like me, like you, like every NFL fan. You know how big the NFL is, how big it's gotten, and how it's still so big even after this week? If stuff like this still happens, I'm sorry, I think we'll lose some female fans, and we should. We really should. And Ray Rice, he'll be picked up next season. I want him to sit out this season, learn his lesson. I hope this appeal doesn't go through because this thing is just going to keep going on. I hope Hardy is out for the season. Ray McDonald, I don't know enough about that situation, but I don't think he should be playing right now either. So this is just a mess. It's a mess. And you know what else was a mess? The Giants today. And there were three plays that may have cost them the game. And they happened back to back to back. And I'll talk about those three plays. And I'll talk about the Giants debacle at MetLife Stadium in their home opener in that loss to the the Drew Stanton Cardinals. I'll talk about the Drew Stanton Cardinals beating the Giants. And I'll recap all around NFL Week 2. And also, Marty Mornowake's trending. And he's the one who called it, folks. He called the timeout, and the Jets lost today. We'll talk Giants disaster, NFL Week 2, and take your calls. It's all coming up next with Paul Dottino at Giants WFAN on Twitter. He covers the Giants over there. He's going to join us next right here on Sports Talk 1240 with Jake Brown on Long Island, AM 1240 WGBB.
And AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan. or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back. Jake Brown here on Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB. I had a second to take a breath, to stop talking domestic violence, to stop talking about Marty Mordenweg calling a timeout and costing the Jets the game. But unfortunately, I got to talk more about the horrid day in New York football. Home opener, Giants-Cardinals. The Giants fall today 25-14. And to break it down is WFAN Giant Reporter. You hear him on the pregame, the postgame. You hear him on WFAN all the time, at Giants WFAN. Paul Dottino joins me on Sports Talk 1240 right now. Paul, how you doing tonight?
Hey, good to be with you. And that was a crazy end to the Jets game. I tell you, you know, I've been covering this league for 32 years, and that was one of the craziest things I'd ever seen. An assistant coach getting granted a timeout literally moments before the snap of what turned out to be a dramatic touchdown pass. I mean, hey, I'll be honest. I got back from the Giants game just in time a couple minutes earlier to be able to see that play. And if I didn't see it, I don't know that I'd believe it.
Is it even permittable, Paul, for an offensive coordinator to call a timeout? Have you
no,
heard of it?
No, it's not. A head coach or a player have to call timeout. But clearly the side judge, which it's his responsibility to not take his eyes off the field. I mean, the play is about to happen. He has to be glued to the field. So his back is to the Jets sideline. So Mordenweg comes running down the sideline, and he's screaming timeout. The official can't identify whose voice that is. He hears timeout, he's got to believe, well, that must be the head coach calling it. I don't blame the official at all. He's got to make the call. He can't turn around to look, so he's got to honor the call. The amazing part is that Mordenweg, understanding this league, he's been around for a number of years, he's got to be really brain dead to make that call. I mean, well, why is he even opening his mouth?
Yeah, and Paul, there's four on the play clock. There's plenty of time. Geno's going to take the snap. He throws the touchdown. No one on the field had any idea that happened, and I mean, I don't even want to talk about it anymore because I'm getting fired up here. Let's talk.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inexcusable. He's got to understand he's not the head coach. You can't call timeout, so why are you saying the word?
Yeah, it really makes zero sense to me, especially as you said, a guy who's been in the league for a while, he's been an offensive coordinator, he knows that that's not allowed and it's not something anyone has ever done. You've been covering the league, you've never seen it, I've never seen it.
No, the only explanation, and I didn't check out the Jets post game. I have no idea what they said, but the only explanation could be if Marty was trying to get Rex's attention and perhaps trying to get him to call timeout. But they got those headsets, and on those headsets, they got buttons on their belts. I don't know if there's an internal communication between those headsets. I'm pretty sure that there is, that he could hit a button and talk to Rex in his headset and tell him. So, again, I'm just really puzzled why Mordenweg would even open his mouth in that situation. But you know what? They paid the price.
And it's a game the Jets actually had in their hands for at least a quarter and a half.
Well, that's the thing. Green Bay's comeback is inexcusable to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, this Jets secondary is embarrassing. But let's focus on this Giant game today as much as that was actually worse than what happened with the Jets. Two games in, Giants are 0-2. Let's just start off with their overall feel of the team. Is it time to panic in your mind right now?
Nah, look, you can't panic. The division's horrible. I know Dallas and Washington both won today. RG3 got hurt. DeSean Jackson got hurt. It's only a matter of time before Tony Romo gets hurt. It's a bad division. The Eagles are the best team. We all know that. They got the most balance in the division. They should be the favorites to win it. But you know what? They got a tough game tomorrow, and they could very easily lose that one. Before it's all said and done, this very mediocre NFC East, somebody's going to emerge from the quicksand. And it may wind up coming down to who doesn't get hurt or who beats who at the very end of the season. I got a feeling this is just going to be one ugly year for the division. And as long as that's the case, any of these teams could at least breathe on the respirator that they have a chance to do something.
Yeah, and with RG3 going down, I mean, there's another team down. Even though I think in my mind, Kirk Cousins might be better than RG3 right now, but we'll see about
it. Well, again, now, a lot of that has to do with the kind of system and the game plans you're running, too.
Yep.
You know, there's no question that RG3 in his game plan is more dangerous than Cousins is, but if you let Cousins run his kind of game plan, which, you know, they've done on occasion, I don't know how much they're going to change it now, but Cousins has got a good arm. He's a good quarterback.
And it's sad because RG3 really has so much promise, but he just can't run without getting hurt. I mean, every week it's the same thing with him. He just can't get out of the pocket without getting banged up. Again, we're talking with Paul Dottino at Giants WFN on Twitter. Paul, the offensive line, in my mind, they looked better today from what we saw last week, which was a disaster. Do you agree with that?
Totally. Now, they didn't run the ball as well as I thought they would. I had predicted they would run for about 125, 130 yards today because I thought that the Cardinals' D was a little bit softer in the middle than that, and I expected the Giants to commit more to the run, and they did somewhat. They did have a number of, I think, three very nice drives offensively today. And they did run the ball a little bit better. And at times, they clearly kept the Cardinals' defense on their heels and honest, which is really what you want the running game to do. It's not about stats. It's about effectively making sure that the defense has to respect the run on a given play. They did that a number of times today. So you're right, there was improvement, and that's a good sign for them. The bad news is, this suspect receiving corps, four drops in the fourth quarter, one by Randall, one by Jennings out of the backfield, two by Cruz.
Huge ones by Cruz. Drops.
That you can't do that. I keep telling people, look, Eli Manning, when he threw the ball to Tumor, and he threw the ball to Burris, and he threw the ball to Mario Manningham, and he threw the ball to David Tyree, he had guys on the other end of that rope who were able to finish the play for him. Right now, who on the Giants is consistently going to finish the play for Eli Manning? You want to tell me?
I can't tell you, but maybe Larry Donald?
Yeah, well, that's pretty funny, isn't it? That we're now hanging our heads or hanging our hats on Larry Donald when we talk about the Giants passing game. That's really funny.
But
you know what? Hey, he caught a fourth-down touchdown pass Monday night.
Yep.
Had another seven catches tonight. Looked pretty good doing it. And you're right. He actually, to this point, has made the most plays for Eli. And that's inexplicable.
Yeah, it's scary, Paul, because we were talking about something. I talked with Tom Rock a couple weeks ago about this, about a tight end by committee that Coughlin was talking about.
Right.
You never heard of that before. And Donald seems to be the guy emerging as that guy. But Victor Cruz, man, does he look like a number one? I feel like all this stuff off the field with him, he's worried about his modeling. He was at Fashion Rocks Tuesday.
Please don't go there. I've had people say that to me. That's not the deal with Victor Cruz. The problem with Victor Cruz is really very, very simple. He has been really, really beaten up over the course of the last year and a half. Okay? Teams have doubled him. They've used brackets. They've at times even used triple coverage on him. They have hit him. They have mugged him. They have been extremely physical on him. And they have definitely thrown him off his game a bit, taken a little bit of rhythm out of his game. And Victor Cruz, I'm not going to say he's gun-shy, but now he's been through the wars a little bit, and it has had an effect on him. And the problem being, okay, he is a very, very, very good receiver. one of the best slot guys, one of the top three in the game. I give you that. But here's the thing. Nobody else in the NFL respects the rest of that receiving core. And when you know that Victor Cruz is truly the best and only consistent go-to guy on the team, you can really load up on him. And that's what's happened. And the loading up has taken its toll on Victor. And as a result, you know what? He's pressing a little bit. And also, as I said, he's taken a beating. And what you see now is it started to chip away at the quality of his play. He badly needs somebody else on this team, like Reuben Randall, who's yet to show it, to step up and show that they can consistently make plays too. And so, look, every great quarterback has two terrific receivers, every one of them. There's not a great quarterback in this league who only has one go-to guy. That's just not the way it works in this game. The NFL is too good to just have one go-to guy. Teams can shut that down.
Yeah, and Paul, the Giants were hoping that Odell Beckham would be that guy, but we haven't even seen him on the field yet this season, and that's a huge factor. What, do you have any, does, I know Coughlin hates to talk about it, but are we going to see this guy anytime in the next 3-4 weeks?
Who knows? Who knows? It's impossible to gauge this. Yeah. It's a soft tissue injury. It's a hamstring injury, and nobody can ever give you specifics on how long those things are going to be impacted. I'll tell you this. They try to give themselves insurance when they re-signed Mario Manningham. And believe me, they were just crossing every finger and toe in their bodies, hoping that Mario Manningham would be the Mario Manningham of old. Because this way it was an insurance policy when Beckham was going down and he wasn't getting on the field. It was like, okay, well, if Mario can shake off the cobwebs, if that knee could truly rehab and he could be the Mario of old, it's going to be okay. Because Mario made plays for Eli.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he did it in the Super Bowl. We just mentioned that once. Do you know how many people forget? In the last Super Bowl run, Manningham caught a touchdown pass in each of the Giants' postseason games.
Yep.
In their last Super Bowl run. He was extremely critical, much more critical than either Knicks or Cruz were. But people seem to forget that all the time. They think about the touchdown catches as one big grab. He had an outstanding postseason. And he never came around. And so that's it. He goes on IR, and he's done. So no Beckham, no Manningham, and now they're stuck with the inconsistent Randall, who made a real nice one-handed touchdown catch today. That's the kind of play they need from him every time out. But what does he do? He makes the touchdown catch.
Did we lose him? We lost him. See if we can get him back. Paul DeTina, looks like we lost him. He was fired up. Hopefully his phone didn't die. I know he's been busy today. We'll try to get Paul back on the line, but he's saying it. Folks, the Giants, the receiving core is dreadful. When Larry Donald's your top target, when the Giants were a tight end by committee, you're in trouble. Cruz dropped two huge passes, and a 3rd and 5 dropped. Next play was a punt return for a touchdown, and the next play was a kickoff return fumbled. It was 3 plays, and just like that. Just like that, the Giants blow the game, and they get shut out in the 4th quarter. The Cardinals, for the 2nd straight week, score 12-plus points in the 4th to win it 25-14. And the Giants' offense is a disaster. It's really bad. I mean, Paul said it, no receivers. And that's not a thing we looked at. We were looking at the offensive line, the new playbook, Ben McAdoo, was it going to work? But this offensive these offensive receivers right now, after Victor Cruz, are just dreadful. It's bad. And an overlooked factor is the special teams. Where was the coverage on that punt return? Ted Ginn looked like Usain Bolt. And then a kickoff return fumbled, and I never understand. If you're deep into the end zone, you're Quentin Demps, kneel the ball. Let it go. Go to the 20. He runs it, gets to about the 21, and then fumbles it, and that costs the Giants basically the game. I mean, this is going to be a long year. It really is. It's going to be a long year for the Giants. I said 9-7. I'm going to stick with it. I don't change my prediction. And luckily for the Giants, their schedule coming up isn't that bad. They have the Texans at home, the Redskins on the road without RG3 likely, and then the Falcons at home before they face the Eagles and Cowboys. Then it gets tough. Colts, Seahawks, 49ers. But this was a game the Giants needed desperately. Drew Stanton's a career backup. He hasn't started a game since 2010. And now the Giants are 0-7. 0-7 in their last seven September games, and they always find a way to have so much trouble with backup quarterbacks for some reason. They really do. And this was a game you point to, you circle, you hear before the game he's out, Carson Palmer's out, you say, W, lock it in, Giants are 1-1, and no. It's just a disaster for this team right now. And I'm concerned. If you're a Giants fan, I'm concerned. And, yeah, it looks like we lost Paul. Maybe his phone died as my iPad just died. But you see, Paul is fired up. You see this deep sigh. You see, he wasn't happy, and neither am I. I mean, I'm Jets first. I root for the Giants. But you can't be happy after that game. And now Giants fans are worried about this entire season, and you really should be. You got to be worried. I mean, it looks like we got Paul back on the line. Paul, we got you back? Paul, you there?
I am back. I have no idea what disconnected us, but it was a black hole for about 2.5 blocks.
All right, well, we're glad we got you. We got about five more minutes. How about the special teams unit? I mean, you had the drop pass by Cruz, then the punt return, and then the kickoff return fumbled. You got to be a little concerned with what you've seen from the special teams, right?
Oh, how can you not be disgusted? Mm-hmm. You know, Quinton Demps was brought here to be the third safety, but also to be a premier kickoff return guy. Mm-hmm. And what happens? You know, he winds up putting the ball down like that on the ground.
Why doesn't he kneel it there? What's with guys running it back? They're middle of the end zone. Just kneel it or let it go.
Well, you know what it is? Because everyone's getting caught with these touchbacks. You got these kick returners now who are so frustrated that they want to force feed a return. That's exactly what happened there, because there's no way he should be picking that ball out.
The only one who should be is Ted Ginn, because he looked like Usain Bolt on that punt return. It was incredible.
So you got that problem, and then obviously, you know, the Ted Ginn thing. You know, I got to tell you, now Tom Coughlin wasn't happy with Weatherford's punting today, but he's punted on one leg, and I thought he actually did an okay job. But you know the problem there? You got Zach Bowman, who's a really good special teams guy, gets down, has a half a wrap-up on Ginn, and somehow the guy slips out of there like a tub of butter. I have no idea how he did that. Then Zach Diassi has a shot at him. He doesn't get him. And then obviously, you know, at some point there, Weatherford had a shot at him, but you knew that wasn't going to happen because he had no balance in his leg. But, I mean, you look at this game and you say to yourself, the Giants outplayed the Cardinals outside of, like, four or five plays, and they self-destructed. I thought that the Detroit Lions kicked the Giants' butts on Monday night. A clear victory for the Lions. They deserved it in every way. The Giants played like horse manure, and they deserved to be 0-1. They didn't really deserve to be 0-1 today or 0-2. They played much, much better. A lot of reasons for them to look up and a lot of reasons for them to win the game, and they gave this one away on a silver platter, you know, courtesy of like four or five plays. But they were clearly the better team today.
Yeah, and 0-7 now for the Giants in their last seven September games. They don't fare well against backup quarterbacks. And this was a game you circle, you say, W, lock it in, Carson Palmer's out, and they lose. Now they play the Texans next week at home before they play likely Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. What needs to happen? What's got to happen for the Giants? Is it the offensive line? Is it just simply turnovers? Was it the four turnovers?
Well, you know, two games now, the Giants have no turnovers. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. You know, today they were minus four, but the last five-second pick from Eli, you don't count that. That's just a ridiculous, you know, a pick at the end of a game. Mm-hmm. Really minus three in turnovers, though, today. And obviously last week as well in the Lions game. That's unacceptable. I mean, come on. You know, we saw them in double digits minus turnover ratio last year, and that's one of the reasons why they didn't finish 500. You just can't have that. You can't be giving the ball away. This league is watered down and full of parity, and that is why the turnover stat, more than anything else, determines the outcome of games. Oh, let's not forget these horrible officials, too. Although I don't think they're the reason the Giants lost today. They were bad on both sides of the ball. Just atrocious officiating at MetLife Stadium this afternoon. So you have basically, in my mind, the two biggest factors that determine wins and losses in this parity-driven league are turnovers and just inconsistent and horrific officiating. That's, you know, that's unfortunate because that's not what true pro football fans want to see.
Yeah, it was horrific in Green Bay as well, I thought, today. Both games officiated terribly. What's gonna happen the rest of the way? Do you see Coughlin lasting the season? Do you see the Giants?
Look, there's no way he's not going to last the season.
All right.
And again, let me tell you something. I've been telling people for well over a month, they're going to be 2-2 at the end of September.
Okay.
Now, I thought they would beat the Cardinals and the Redskins. They're now 0-2, and they lost to the Cardinals. I see no reason why they can't beat the Texans, especially without Clowney.
Yeah.
And the game is at MetLife. I saw enough today to believe the Giants can beat Houston, and I certainly believe they can beat the Redskins. So I'm going to stick to the 2-2. I may have gotten the games wrong, but I'm sticking to 2-2 by October 1st.
And do they beat the Falcons at home after that? Because that's a winnable game.
I'm only going 1 month at a time. Okay. Is that okay with you?
Okay, I'm holding you to 2-2. So,
that's fine.
All right. All right, Paul. Paul Dottino at Giants WFAN on Twitter. Thanks a lot for coming on. Glad we got you on. And we'll talk again soon, Paul.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Paul Dottino, he is just incredible. I mean, he's got so much energy. And you could tell he's fired up because this was a game the Giants, you lock down with a victory. You seal it up, you start the bus, and you prepare for the Texans next week at home. And for them to lose, it really changes the season. I know it's only 2 weeks, but for a team with so many issues like them, you take every win you can against a team that's inferior to you, and you ride with it, you take it, and they didn't get it. Jets lose. Giants lose. The irrelevant Mets lose. The Yankees are playing right now in an 8 o'clock game versus Baltimore for no reason. The Yankees are out of it. San Francisco, by the way, is up 7-0 on the Marshall and Jeffrey-less Bears. And we got about 5 minutes left. Remember, you're listening to Sports Talk 1240 at AM 1240 WGBB. I am Jake Brown at JB Sports Radio. Let's go around the league quick. A couple of surprises today. Of course, my survivor dies. The Browns. Brian Hoyer, the king of Cleveland. They love him in Cleveland. He should be 2-0. They lost dramatically to the Steelers last week. He is 1-1. Great win over the Saints. Just unbelievable, that final drive, what he did to orchestrate that victory. Denver wins 24-17. That one got a little dicey in the end, but Kansas City loses Jamal Charles for the game, so we'll have to see his health moving forward. Buffalo. How about those Bills? 2-0 right now in first place in the AFC East. And if you told me that after week two, you're a Bills fan or you're crazy or you need to go to a psychiatric hospital. The Redskins win 41-10. The Jaguars are just not a football team. Get Chad Henne out of there and put Blake Bortles in because I can't watch them. They're the most irrelevant team in the four major sports, and that's not even an opinion. That's just a fact. The Cowboys win 26-10 today. Tony Romo rebounds. Enough of you people saying the Titans are a playoff team. I know it's two games. They're not. I mean, the fascination with Jake Locker is beyond me. Everyone thinks he's going to get better. He's going to turn into this superstar quarterback. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback, and that's that. I mean, enough people thinking that he's a star in the NFL because he's not. Patriots, they get by the Vikings. And without Adrian Peterson, I mean, we'll see. Likely going to get a 6-game suspension with the new domestic violence policy. I mean, they're in trouble. No chance they had against the Patriots today. The Bengals dominate the Falcons 24-10. The Bengals defense shutting down the Falcons offense, who was tremendous last week. The Panthers, without Greg Hardy, who thank the Lord the Panthers didn't play, deserves to be in a North Carolina jail cell, and hopefully he is at some point, but we'll see after the November appeal goes through. How about the Rams? The Rams come back today. With their third string quarterback, to beat the Bucs, Austin Davis, and I mean we all said the Bucs with their third string quarterback to beat the Bucs, Austin Davis, and I mean we all said the Bucs were going to be the surprise team this year. When you lose to the Rams, I mean the Bucs are not a playoff team. Josh McCown has looked very mediocre at best, and they win today, and a lot of people predicted this. I predicted the Chargers to definitely cover, and they do win at home. I'm telling you, the Seahawks, it's day and night, home and road, day and night. Completely different team. They're not the same team on the road, and the Chargers win 30-21. The Chargers are a fun little team. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't talk about their defense. They have a very solid defense, and Phillip Rivers just continues to show us he's got a couple plus years in him. He was tremendous today. 3 touchdowns, 284 yards, and Matthews got hurt in that game, and Rivers is going to have to carry them, and he did today as the Chargers improved to 1-1. Too bad they lost to the Cardinals last week, so the Chargers win that one. And finally, before Eagles-Colts, the Texans beat the Raiders today 30-14, and Derek Carr is going to have a tough time with that offensive line. It's going to be tough for Derek Carr. He threw 42 passes today. Couldn't really run much when you're getting crushed the whole game. And Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't do much, but Arian Foster carried the load there. And that wraps up the scores for in NFL Week 2. But, I mean, it wasn't a good day in New York, as I mentioned. Marty Mornhinweg was trending. You had the Giants with 4 turnovers, 3 plays consecutively. It was like the butt fumble all over again. It felt like that. In 30 seconds, the Giants went from winning to their season possibly being in shambles. It was unbelievable how quick that unfolded. The Jets had a tie game, and an offensive coordinator called a timeout. And I love getting Paul's perspective on that, because Paul just does a tremendous job, and I'll be back on the air next Sunday. So tune into that, and maybe I'll have him back on. The Giants play a 1 o'clock game. He's the best Giants reporter in the business. No disrespect to Tom Rock, who I've had on, but Paul Dettine is the best Giants reporter on the radio in the business, because he tells it how it is. And he told it is not only about the Giants, he told us about the Jets. He's never seen anything like that happen. It's never happened in the history of football, folks. You witnessed history at Lambeau Field tonight. You witnessed an offensive coordinator call a timeout, even though they're not permitted, the ref granting the timeout because he thought it was Rex Ryan. And you don't really know who to blame. Do you blame the ref there? You can't, because he hears timeout. He's saying, okay, timeout. But why are you calling it? And here's the thing. Here's what makes it worse, people. That was their last time out. They needed that in case they didn't score there. So I'd rather them take a 5-yard delay a game, and that always boggles my mind. When a team uses their final timeout, or they have 2 timeouts and they use one of them because they're afraid of getting a delay game, I'd rather personally take the 5 yards than lose the timeouts. Those timeouts are essential, and the Jets needed them, and they blew it. I mean, I have to hear the post. I have to hear sound from Mornhinweg and Rex, because it's hard to fathom how that actually went down. It really is. I mean, I just don't get it. How does that happen? And it's a game where the Jets could have stole. And you know what? They score there. It's a tie game. They could still lose. But you give yourself a chance. And it was hard. It really was for me. And again, I'll be on 8 o'clock next week. These 8 p.m.s are killing me, because it's right during the 4 o'clock games. But I'm back next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Thanks to Paul Dettine at Giants WFN for joining me. Thanks to Luke Halbert on social media at I Am Luke Halbert. Thanks to Brian behind the glass. Great show today. The Jets, they'll take on the Bears on Monday Night Football next week. Working on getting a Jet player for you next week. The Giants will take on the Texans at 1 o'clock. We'll have all your post-game coverage here at 8 o'clock on Sports Talk 1240. Coming up next is Andrew Joseph right here on AM 1240 WGBB. Stay locked in, and I will talk to you all next week.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.